Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move! Oh, LeBron James with no regard for human life.
12 seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! Iverson against Gill. The crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up? What up? Welcome to episode 4 of Sneaker History Podcast. I'm Nick Engvall, and I'm here with Mike Guillory and Robbie Falchi, and we're going to talk sneakers today. So,
yeah.
How you guys doing?
Good, man. How about you?
Good, good. Ready to jump into some March Madness conversation.
Yes, sir.
So
time of the year.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I've kind of fallen off from like filling out the brackets and following basketball as much as I would like. But man, I was like obsessed with college basketball for so many years. And I think that part of that, like kind of losing interest or like distancing myself from it is because I haven't been as excited about the sneakers. And, you know, thinking back of like over the years, all the teams that wore crazy shoes, all the players that wore stuff that just like burned into my mind and my memory of like, damn, this is March Madness. But like for me, the first one that comes to mind is, well, this is going to make me sound very old, but the first one that comes to mind is Larry Johnson and the Running Rebels, UNLV.
Yeah. All right.
You know, I just think like those guys were, they were like the first, like, team to really like step it up and be like, yeah, like they knew that it was bigger than just basketball. Right. And, you know, to me, that's like always kind of the like standard that's in my mind of like where things go. And then obviously like next up for me would be Michigan and the Fab Five. I mean, they just changed everything, right? Like we started buying black socks after that. you know, just it's crazy, but I don't know. What do you guys think? How's where's your first memory of March Madness sneakers come in?
Man, you know, I never was a huge follower of college basketball, not till I actually got to college. And my sad story of watching my Baylor Bears get demolished every year or not making it turned me off of it sometimes. But I don't know, one of my favorite things I've seen just from kind of doing like little history lessons of college basketball has been Iverson in the Concords. I mean, just one of those things, like, he wasn't supposed to wear them, he wore them, and that's just his personality that he brought from college all the way to the NBA, his own style, and he did it in one of the most iconic, if not the most iconic shoe that's out there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, he's my favorite player, so that was one of those things, too, for me, where it was just, like, next level. But how about you, Robbie?
Man, funny you said UNLV because I grew up in Vegas and we had the newspaper article of Larry Johnson pretty much bulldozing Bobby Hurley. It was on the front of the Las Vegas Review Journal and it was framed in everything above my bed. And that actually made me not like UNLV. I grew up a Duke fan because everything in the house was UNLV. I had to kind of make a hard left turn. yeah, it's really weird. Everybody from Vegas is hardcore UNLV because of Larry Johnson's team. So it's always kind of a black sheep. But, you know, some personal teams for me, like I just said, I'm a big Duke fan. Like the 2010 Blue Devil team, that specifically had like Kyle Singler and like Nolan Smith and the Toby Five and that beautiful Duke colorway. Then they had the Bronze 7 PE and just hyperizes. And I think it was just a really good time for Nike basketball. They were kind of entering that golden era of just like everything selling out and everything being a hot commodity. It was just a lot of fun memories. And kind of the second one is the 2012 Kentucky Wildcats. I think each kind of member brought something different. There was a lot of Nike on the court, but then you had the Jordan 10 Old Royals on foot by Anthony Davis a lot, and that kind of burnt that shoe into my brain. So kind of more of a new school flavor, but, you know, the power team of years recent has just kind of made an impression on me. But, you know, since 2012, 2015, I think those are the last 3 years of good sneaker and the NCAA, and has really slowed down since then.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I think that there's less attention on the team shoes now, right? And, you know, back, like, let's say, like, mid-90s, right? You had guys like, you know, the Big East tournament with, like, Donyell Marshall at UConn, Ray Allen at UConn. Those guys were wearing, like, up-tempos and Air Force 93s, Strongs, like, all the, like, classic, like, mid-90s basketball shoes, right? And
that the pros wore.
Yeah, that the pros wore.
Yeah.
And nowadays, like, I don't think that college players, like, you know, Jordan Brand does a good job of getting, you know, shoes to UNC, Cal, Michigan, North, you know, Duke, like, or Nike to Duke, all those, like, there's, like, whatever, those 8 or 10 schools that we see the PEs get seated, you know, the Ducks, all the Ducks shoes, right? But, like,
yeah.
I just feel like those teams, there's no connection between those shoes and the pros, so you don't have this, like, there's no connecting the dots, right? Like, where back in the day, you know, all those shoes were, there was less, you know, I don't know, there was less signatures, in my opinion, back in the day, too, right? Like, there was a few here and there in the pros, and now you have, like, you know, guys at Duke wearing signature shoes, you know, whether that's a LeBron or a Kobe or whatever. And same thing with, you know, a lot of other schools where back in the 90s, early 2000s, you know, all those players in college wore shoes that were, you know, like team, you know, not term team shoes, but like what I would call team shoes, right? They were just like general release, mm-hmm. middle of the road shoes that were turned out to be super dope and you got to see them a lot. Where now, like, if you want to, you could go buy those shoes. You know, now you couldn't go buy those shoes because the guys are wearing some, you know, exclusive colorway and there's no real connection to what happens to that shoe in the pros or where the story goes from there, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, you make a good point about that. Yeah. It's been a really big shift, especially now that the NBA's loosened up what players can wear. They're not wearing Hyperdunks. They're not wearing, you know, TV or Team Bank models anymore. Like, and those have all been kind of relegated down to the college ranks where you're seeing, like, Michigan State with just all green shoes, or you're seeing, like, West Virginia and it's, like, navy and yellow. It's only the big schools, like Nick was saying, that get, you know, elite-level footwear for elite-level program. So it's kind of been a shift down in the footwear that they wear in the NCAA, and then like a shift up in the NBA away towards kind of more uniform shoes. Everybody wants to wear custom or something they've had in the closet for the past 5 years in the NBA. They don't want to wear the newest, you know, Hyperdunk or, you know, the new Air Force Max or anything that's really coming out. They want to wear the hot stuff to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've noticed that as of late,
Jordan Brand has been kind of doing their own sponsorships. Like, they've been branching out more than their, you know, the normal UNC, Georgetown, so on and so forth. Like, you know, I'm in Houston, and they recently signed the University of Houston. But they're still, I mean, they're still really good this year, but looks like they're not one of those top-tier schools just yet. They're still, like you guys are saying, down to kind of a team bank. So they're wearing the, you know, 33s or, you know, was it Superflies in their team colors. They don't get the, you know, the, like recently Jordan came out with the Jordan 4s and why not 2s for Georgetown, Marquette, Oklahoma, Florida, Michigan, UNC that were, people are going to clamor to get their hands on them, but everyone else is kind of relegated to just those basic, like they're going to hit, sell rack soon, or they're going to discontinue and go to a new model within 6 months. So it's kind of nuts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think too.
Yeah, it's really interesting you brought up. I'm sorry, Nick, but just to kind of piggyback off that.
Yeah.
You know, you brought up Jordan Brand because I feel like they are taking over schools like Oklahoma and Michigan that are power football. Like they're not. I mean, Michigan basketball is huge.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, Wolverines are huge, but they are way bigger in other sports that Jordan's really trying to break into. Like you see NFL players wearing more Jordan Brand. So if Jordan can secure those prime football contracts, it kind of feels like the basketball team gets to tag along and just reap the benefits, though they're not on the top of their own sport.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a way to get your name on everything and anything. Just to, I mean, it always gonna be relevant, but it's always good to almost get some free marketing for every sport you know you're touching in one school. So it's nice to be a walking billboard on every athlete's track jacket or every athlete's sneaker, regardless if it's not a known model. You're still looking at the jump man, even if it's on a trainer that you're not gonna buy.
Yeah, that's definitely. Yeah, it's interesting to think of like how they're handling those schools. I don't know. I kind of miss the old. It's not necessarily just the way the brands are working with the schools either. I mean, there's obviously a lot of stuff that's been going on with that. You know, like just recently the Adidas execs, a couple of the guys, you know, got sentenced to prison time for that whole scandal that's been going on for. A few, you know, the trial has been going on for, I think, 2-3 years now. But like, I think in general too, like, you know, to your question, you know, why is it kind of fallen off? Like one of the bigger things might be that people just don't watch college basketball the same as they do. Right. And, or they used to.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, partially because we recognize if you grew up, you know, let's say, you know, watching the Fab Five, right? That team was basically like torn apart by, you know, illegal donations, allegations, just general, just like, you know, garbage to rip these kids apart from each other, apart from the school. Like, and, you know, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody specifically, but I just always think like, if you're a kid that, you know, doesn't get too many opportunities in life, and then you end up going to a school that's known for basketball, and all of a sudden there's people that are giving you cars, giving you, you know, housing, all this crazy stuff that, you know, you're not even at 18 or 19 years old, you don't even know what's falls under like okay or not, right, for the school's rules or the NCAA's rules, and the fact that they're not paid is, to me, just like absolutely insane, right? I mean, I get that they're, you know, quote, getting an education, but we also know that there's all sorts of scandals on the other side of these schools that these kids don't actually get an education. They get somebody else to do their homework. Like it's all part of the process, right? So the school can make, you know, money off of their likeness, money off of, you know, ticket sales while they're there, all the stuff down the road. And I think that's something that has taken, maybe it's just personally, it's taken me away from watching college basketball as much. And I also think that like just structurally college basketball never really recovered from, I don't remember when it was, but like whenever the Big East, you know, kind of was broken up. And I'm going to go off on a tangent here. I had a crazy story. So I worked for Nice Kicks. I moved to Austin 2007 or 2008. Like I was one of the first 3-4 people that got hired at Nice Kicks as employees. It was just Matt and his wife at the time, Allison, and myself, George Keel, Peter Sim, Greg Grovey, all started the same day. Like we were like the team of people that they hired. And during that time, like I like had gone through, I'd moved down there with a girl and it didn't work out. Like 6-8 months later, I was spending a ton of time in the gym, and I can't remember what year that was. Probably 2008 or 2009, the Big East tournament that was like Kemba Walker and was it Johnny Flynn was there, and it was like you know what, 4 overtimes or something like that. So I was on the elliptical, and this is before Bluetooth headphones. So I'm plugged in, and the only way I can keep the audio going is to keep going on the elliptical. And I was so exhausted by the time it was over, because like you had to keep moving in order to hear it. But I wanted to watch the end of the game because I was not leaving, you know, like this was probably, you know, probably one of the best, you know, games in college basketball history, potentially. Right. But I think about like the Big East tournament and how much of a big deal that became, even being, you know, away from New York and, you know, kind of where that all existed and where that, you know, world kind of spins. But even before that, like going back to like the mid nineties, I remember, I was never really a fan, not a fan, but like, you know, when the Kamikaze came out with Reebok, Sean Kemp's shoe, the first one, you know, I think it's a dope shoe. I like, it was just crazy because it was so wild compared to the other stuff we had seen at the time. But what was mind blowing to me is that Felipe Lopez for St. John's wore that, I think both in the Big East tournament and the, NC2A tournament. And I remember just thinking, damn, like, this is crazy. That's like the, like, cause you know, it was in the East Bay catalog, but you never saw them, right? Like that was a team shoe, a school shoe or whatever. So unless you played on a team and you bought your shoes from East Bay, you just usually didn't see those off colors back in the day. Like, you know, there was only 3 colors of that shoe to start, right? Or 4 colors, right? Like, and so that kind of makes me think that just in general, like the shifting of all these conferences, you know, it's all a big money play up above for all these conferences, because they get money for this and they get money for that, and schools get money from them to be a part of it and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like all of that kind of just, I don't know, like kind of just like sank the ship for me. But I don't know. Do you guys remember like that? Were you guys ever into, you know, even like the smaller tournaments?
I can't say I was. Like I said, I didn't really get into college basketball until I was actually in college when I kind of got the in-person experience. So this is, like I said, a new world to me. And it's tough. I'll be honest with you. It's tough to watch college basketball. The level is just so much different, because I got so used as a kid to watching NBA basketball. It's almost unbearable to me until about this time where there's a lot on the line. And then that's when I kind of tune in. But I don't know, maybe Robbie is more in tune than I am in this.
For me, a lot of it comes down to the ACC. Those are always really big. One of them that comes to mind, I believe Austin Rivers hit a game winner against UNC for the ACC championship. I'm trying to think back to what year it was. I'm pretty sure it was in 2012, but just all, those are where all the classic rivalries are kind of created, right? all of like the Georgetown, St. John's, Duke, UNC, Oregon, Oregon State. Those conference tournaments really kind of gave those rivalries life. So I like to look for the big teams with history going at each other.
I'm kind of the same way. Like, I, being from California, I was always into like the Pac-10, Pac-12. But there's always like the, it's kind of crazy. I remember probably, I don't know what year it was. But back, you know, probably, let's see, probably 2010, 11 ish. You know, when like I was blogging actually for East Bay, like, so I was working for Soul Collector, and we started the East Bay blog, and me and Brandon Richards kind of like took charge on that whole project. But we were, it was like one of those things where we were digging through like photos all the time looking for people wearing stuff, and that was like my first discovery of like Kawhi Leonard. And you know, like at San Diego State, he played in all sorts of stuff. That whole team played in all sorts of crazy shoes that you just wouldn't expect, you know, a relatively smaller school in terms of sports to, yeah, to, you know, like they didn't make the mark the way like an ACC school or, a former Big East school would have, which was really dope. And I think that kind of, that was kind of the end of it for me in terms of, you know, like that 2011, 2012. But I do remember like a lot of, I mean, a lot, there's so many players, you know, that, that like the Carolina teams throughout the 90s, wore, you know, Carolina, like UConn, even Wake Forest, you know, like I remember watching, Kenny Anderson and like, or at Georgia Tech, and like, Rodney Rogers at Wake Forest, like all those guys. But like going back to like the conversation where we were, it was just so odd to see the brands have less interest in college. I don't know if like less interest is the right thing, but you know, and you know, I guess looking at like the way things are now, maybe the brands are realizing that they let that slip away as a, as like a marketing platform for sneakers, because now we have, you know, like we talked about on the, on a previous episode, the Rip Hamilton 14, you know, that he wore at UConn. So I guess with that said, like, you know, to me, like the schools like UConn always having like a team of with a bunch of variety was like what drew me in. You know, you know, even like the Kawhi and the San Diego State guys, like having stuff that was just like, just, you know, like unpredictable, right? Which,
yeah, it's cool stuff. Like,
yeah, it's almost like what the NBA is trying to do now, but they're just not. It's, I don't know, like the, I don't know if the NBA is even getting it right, because, you know, the tunnel shots are not the same as like seeing the guys playing them, even though it's cool to see them in two shoes or see a couple pairs of their collection. But I don't know. What do you guys? How do you guys feel about that whole thing?
I mean, I was going to actually have a question just to follow with that, speaking of variety, because I'm just, as we're talking, I'm just trying to go through like some different schools and kind of look at their, you know, kind of their footwear over the past two seasons. And of course they have their team shoe, but is it like, I've seen guys in, you know, Jordan brand schools wearing, you know, wearing a Concord this year when I was kind of browsing through some of the conference championship games. How do they get to do that? Is that something that, hey, as long as it's under our brand and you buy yourself, you can do it? Or those like special gifts? Like, what, how does that work? I'm probably going into like a weird deep dive here, or something, you know, some inner workings with the schools, but I've noticed that. Like, there's some players who always wear their inline school issued shoes, but there's other guys, you know, wearing, you know, a little bit of heat every so often. I just didn't know how that worked. I don't know if you guys know.
Yeah, Draymond Green. I watched a really random article about that same topic, and he was saying how in the championship game, he had in his mind before the season even started, he was going to wear a cool gray Air Jordan 11. Like, he had it, like, planned out. And the team manager wanted everybody to wear, I guess not just the manager, the team was expected to wear all the same new Jordan models. And he said, no, I'm going to go get rules. I'm going to do my own thing. So I think it does come down to if you have the footwear already, if it's appropriate, if it's also, for the most part, within team color boundaries. Michigan State throws a lot of gray in there from year to year as like a secondary or third color. So I think it is preference, and the team would prefer you wearing one thing, but players ultimately, if they're rocking the right label, it's going to be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the other thing to think about with that too is there's a lot of I guess the best way to put it is like there's a lot riding on what these guys on the relationship that these guys are building with the brand as they're leaving college, right? Most of these guys are at the peak of their basketball career, and then there's the, you know, let's say 5%, you know, that have a shot at playing in the league. But all of those guys that are thinking that they have a legitimate shot of playing in the league also are thinking, what's my sneaker deal going to look like? Whether that's, you know, just a team shoe or a signature shoe, like it doesn't really matter the level, but it's all in their mind. So, you know, thinking about like getting somebody's attention, whether you have a relationship with the brand or not already, or potentially, like, you know, I remember seeing, like, photo shoots, you know, that I think Nike did one a few years back, and I think Draymond was even in it, and it was that, I can't remember what shoe it is.
Draymond, Kyrie.
Yeah.
DeMarcus
is in it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I want to say it's it's like a hyper chase.
Yeah,
I want to say something
like that. It has the like strap across the midfoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was, and I think like the shoot was about maybe jerseys or something, but most of the guys wore like a very team oriented shoe, right? And I always thought that was weird because, you know, you had seen Draymond in cool grays, you know, like you had seen Boogie in Jordans. And then that photo shoot came out, and the shoot itself was super dope. Like, the one that stands out in my mind was the, like, one of Draymond screaming. But, I think that there's so much more that, you know, unofficially just goes into the things that happen where people are wearing stuff, right? Because unless you're, like, you know, Zion Williamson level of athlete, then, you know, you're probably, or at least I would hope, that you're very calculated in like what you're going to wear, how you're going to use it to, you know, potentially get a deal or network or get people's attention, right? Because all that stuff becomes, you know, valuable to the brands, and not saying that you're going to get paid for playing in the tournament or anything, but like if a brand is like, you know, damn, Draymond wore cool gray 11s, you know, let's give him a bigger check when he signs with us in 6 months. Like, that to me, I think that's kind of probably common stuff that happens. But
that makes sense. I mean, you're just kind of marketing yourself before you get there. You can't make these actual deals yet, so you got to do it the best way you can by showing off your love for the brand and your collection.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't.
Go ahead, Robbie.
Go ahead, Nick. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, I think you know, just beyond that too, you know, not enough of the athletes coming out of college or even out of high school are thinking about like their own personal brand the way that they probably should be at this point.
Yeah.
You know, Shaq was like the one guy that went through back in the day and like had all this stuff lined up, had his logo and was ready to become, you know, a bigger star than just basketball. Right. And yeah. It's rare that you see that now, even though, you know, someone like Zion, if he had, you know, a couple of marketing heads around him that he could trust, could easily come out of school and say, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, this is the money that I want, these are the brands that I want to work with, and almost everybody would put money on the table for him, in my opinion.
Complete side note, it was the Hyper-Rev. I was looking at the picture, I was like, I know this year.
Hyper-Rev.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the Hyper-Rev 2016, and it was about jerseys. They were doing the new, like, Elite jerseys. And they had a lot of old players there. Like, DeMar DeRozan hasn't been in the
NBA
since, like, 2008. So that was literally 8 years before the photo was taken. But the name recognition with the program is what it's more about.
Yep.
I also fact-checked myself. It was Draymond Green in the cool gray 11 at the Carrier game. I don't know if anybody remembers played UNC. Michigan State, pardon me, played UNC on – like the runway of an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, Michigan had those crazy, or Michigan State had those crazy camo gray, right?
Yeah, kind of like the San Antonio Spurs do a lot now.
Yeah,
like
green. Yep.
Yeah, camo. Digi camo. Yeah, those are cool jerseys. I remember those.
But it's all kind of a marketing move, right? Because you can't pretend like these players aren't fully aware what school gets what player exclusive. These players have been going through the Nike dance of tournaments and Adidas and all these, like, you know, coming up kind of circuits they have through AAU and then, like, you know, like 18 and under Team USA and then like Jordan Brand Classic. They're shoving exclusive shoes in front of these young people's faces saying, like, oh, you know, when you're 3 years from now, when you're 19 years old, remember what shoes look really dope on your feet at this McDonald's All-American game.
Yep.
Or when you were being recruited to go play at Duke. So they're seeding, like, players might not be coming into it knowing what their brand is, but the shoe companies are all kind of circling those players saying, okay, you might not know what your brand's going to be, but we have an outfit for you. So the second we can talk to you legally, we're going to be in your ear. And that's just like a long kind of incubation process. I thought I've always found that kind of interesting, how that works.
And I feel like they're taking a whole new approach now into getting these kids, I guess, to get them on a hook of, hey, come to school, we do cool things when it comes to sneakers. I don't know if you guys had seen the pictures throughout this current season of not the players, but the coaches. You had Coach K at one point wearing off-white Air Force One, Roy Williams over at UNC wearing the off-white Carolina Jordan ones, and then, of course, you have Penny and Memphis with their play-exclusive Memphis Tiger phone positive that's actually coming out this week. I mean, there's not just the players now. Like, the brands are like, hey, you want this kid to come, wear this cool shoe. Like, they're pulling all the stops. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think it's...
Show that you're in touch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was just going to say the exact same thing. Yep. So, I guess, then, so, you know, with all that said, what do you guys... Well, I think I probably know... Robbie's answer, but what school are you going to if you know people are throwing sneakers in front of you saying come to my school, come to this brand, if you're let's say you're a you know about to enter in about to exit high school and enter into, you know, college, and everybody's knocking at your door with PEs, what are you going with?
Tough. I'm just a toss up between like the two like most probably standard answers you'll get from anybody would be between UNC and Oregon. Like, they produce the coolest like Jordans out of anybody.
How about you, Robbie?
That either Oregon also or Florida. Like the Florida State Gators, they have the like list now of PEs and this that gorgeous royal blue with the orange. You got the sunny atmosphere. You got the beach. You got the football.
I mean, total package.
But that's what schools really do sell. Hey, player A, you get the shoes, you get the ambiance, you get the other sports to enjoy. You know, come here, be the face of our program for the next year and a half so we can make money off your jersey 2 years later. But it's just, I'm going to go with the new Jordan school, but probably Florida. Nick, how about you?
Florida, like the colors and like you said, that royal blue and orange to me is just phenomenal.
With the suede? Oof.
Yeah, and I mean, all the shoes that I've seen for them so far have been pretty impressive. I think, and it would be such a toss up for me because I you know, grew up loving like the Cal Bears colors and that like navy and yellow. It was kind of like the cool, you know, like the local Michigan Fab Five for me, right? And you know, Jason Kidd played back in the day, but like there was not the level of excitement, in my opinion, that you know, obviously the Fab Five were like next level everything. So that would probably be my choice. But of this new stuff that's been like dropped in the last year or whatever it's been, I really like the Georgetown stuff. I think that gray they've been using is really, really dope. And I like that you don't see those colors, even though it's like a common color theme for, you know, sports teams, right? It's not something you see on general release sneakers very often. And that to me is pretty cool.
Yeah. There's only one in recent history I can think of, and that was in 2011 with the gray and navy Jordan 14, which is, you know, they call it the Georgetown, but that was the only time I remember seeing that color scheme anywhere.
Cool. You got the Jordan 11 low from, I believe, 2016 or 17. I could go look in my closet, but they did the Georgetown Hoya low on those, and those are the only ones coming to mind right now. I want to say there's one more retro since then, but it's just not clicking on the cylinders right now. I'm just thinking about these white and orange Florida Air Jordan 11. It's like the Concord, instead of being black, patent leather, it's all Florida orange.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
What? You got some nice stuff. Like all these PEs, they started showing for these, you know, top six schools that Georgia's been putting out, like those fours. I can't. This is probably sacrilegious for where I went to school, but I have to say the Oklahoma fours are one of my favorites. That, that burgundy color is amazing.
You're going to get hate mail.
I am, man. You can't tell me by where I live.
Baylor's had some really cool stuff. Like when they were popping off in the NCAA tournament, those, what was it, like Bolt? They had like all Bolt jerseys or something, like something really close.
Yeah.
They still do. They actually still, right now, they're playing in like all Bolt and like neon yellow and white jerseys. That's when their PEs are all that same color too, which is pretty cool. But again, they're one of the schools that is pretty standard issue when it comes to the team shoes. So they don't have any, like, you don't see anything cool. Like, you don't see a Kyrie 5 and all Bolt, you know?
No, it was a lot of like the team quote unquote Derrick Roses. I think it was like the 773 is what they called it, like the area code Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah, I have like Baylor. I don't remember when it was, probably 2011 or something. I have like a pair of Baylor Crazy 8s.
Seriously?
Yeah, that they didn't release. It was like a team edition. And then right around that same time was I think it was a Dwight Howard Adidas, maybe the TS Beast or the TS Commander or something like that. I was actually able to grab, like, man, if you search for Adidas player exclusives on the web, like, I was obsessed, man. Like, all my stuff will probably come up still, because I was like, I went after like all of the Derrick Rose like PEs that the schools got. So I had like Michigan, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Baylor, I mean, Cincinnati, like, I mean, not Cincinnati, Louisville. There was just a ton of them. And they were colors that were just school colors, but they, you know, like they were like the Rose one, right?
Yeah.
And I just love that shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a Michael Beasley one. I found your post.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a Michael Beasley PE. It says BEZ on it.
Yep. I grabbed so much of that stuff, partially because it was like cool for me to get stuff that was exclusive, but didn't cost a ton of money. Right. It was just like, wow, this is cool. Like, it's a cool story. Someday, like today, I'm going to get to revisit this. And, but the Baylor stuff was always really dope, because those colors just are not common, right? Like, occasionally they pop up.
No, green and gold, bold, you don't see that.
Yeah. But.
We wore the same size, Nick, me and you at the talk.
But you can find, like we were just saying, you can find a lot of those obscure CEs for mega cheap. Like, University of Oregon does, like, a sample sale at the end of the year. I know some other colleges probably do the same.
Yeah.
Where they just clean shop.
Yep.
And you get to come up on some really nice things. Some sample individual, I can't remember his name right now, but he follows us on Instagram, Sneaker History. And he got a pair of, like, the Kyrie All Royal Blue Kyrie 5 from Duke. Like, a couple of days after they posted. And, man, how do you get on that mailing list? This is getting, like, a really rare stuff a day. You know the answer to that. It's all seeded beforehand.
We know the answer.
It's not like it's a secret. But it's just, there's some things that are unattainable, like those Jordan 4s. But for those looking to get into the collector side of the shoe game and really dig deep into some passion purchases, you can find some rare, rare gems on the low.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so
I'll be on eBay soon.
Yeah, exactly. So we should probably wrap up. And since this episode is a little different, since we're just focusing on college basketball sneakers, I think final choice, what shoe are you taking? If you can have any college basketball shoe that's out there that you know of.
Ooh, on the court now or all time?
All time. All time favorite, if you were to just pick one favorite.
This is tough. Now you got me thinking.
All right. Kobe 11 Oregon Duck. The Flyknit. It's like a green to yellow, candy green to yellow grade fading. I got a mixed two words together. Gradient fade from like toe to heel. And it's just a gorgeous shoe that you can still find for probably less than like $200 dead stock. And it's official team issue, Kobe. So I'm going to make my choice attainable and fresh.
All right, that's good. I'm not mad at that. How about you, Mike?
Not either. Oh, my God. It's just too many options out here. You know, I have to probably, it's kind of a weird, well, not necessarily a weird one, but it's going to be a kind of a probably an unpopular choice. I love the LeBron Ohio State Buckeye Soldiers. Like, they're super simple, but I really like the shoe for some reason. I don't know why, but I think that probably is my choice.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty dope shoe. I remember Greg Oden wearing that shoe back in the day.
And yeah.
Just, I mean, God, that guy had like the roughest career of any human being.
Yeah,
on the planet,
that's
right. But
tough life there.
Yeah. So for me, damn, I don't even know. But I think it would like right now, and I might change my mind as soon as we're done with this. But right now, I think it would be, there's a I'm not even a huge fan of the Jordan 13, but there's a Cal Bears Jordan 13 that's like all navy and it has the yellow piping around the side panel, and it's got the Cal logo on the tongue. That's probably my pick right now.
So. Nice.
Yeah, so
they're all gorgeous. You've been kind of apologizing for saying Cal a couple times. Yeah, they have some of the best Jordan PEs of like a long time school. It's just nothing new, but doesn't make them any less awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, I think some of the schools losing my train of thought here. Some of the like Jordan, was it the 30? I think it's the 30. Had like a lot of the schools had really good colorways that were just totally different from all the others. That might be on my list too.
They had the logo. Like I remember like Marquette had their big old logo on it.
Yeah.
I know the Cal had the big bear. I think it was the 30. No, it was the 29 maybe. Yeah, it was the 29 and had the big bear on the medial side.
Yeah.
They were all navy.
Yeah, that was good too.
And yeah, they did a couple different, like UNC, but yeah, good mention to have like a newer model that are an absolute banger. Like, oh, so sick.
Yeah, a lot of them out there. But yeah, I guess so that pretty much wraps up this episode. I think we want to know what you think about college basketball sneakers. Like, what's your favorite PE of all time? Like, throw a picture up on Twitter at Sneaker History, or Instagram at Sneaker History. But yeah, that's what we're gonna leave it with you, and that's the question of the episode for you. So, without dragging this out any longer, I'm Nick Engvall. You can find me at Nick Engvall on all platforms. More importantly, you can follow at Sneaker History on all platforms. And Mike and Robbie, why don't you let them know how they can find you?
Yeah, you guys follow me on Sneaker History as well. Instagram and Twitter under MadWatchers789. You see me around sneakers all the time. Robbie, where you at?
Man, you can find me at Robbie702 on all the platforms also. And I hope everybody has a good night.
Likewise. And thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Peace. What up, guys? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I want to let you know a couple things we've been working on. We're about to start a weekly newsletter just to kind of share some of the stuff that we find from around the web, you know, in the sneaker space. It's interesting. Maybe some resale prices, maybe some funny stuff, some random sneaker stuff, you know, all the stuff that we pass around on social media. But we want to put it in one place, so if you don't spend all week on social media, you can just subscribe to the newsletter on sneakerhistory.com and we'll send you a list of things that we find entertaining. The second thing is that we finally launched a web store to sell some Sneaker History merchandise. Right now we've got a few t-shirt options, a couple coffee mug options, some stickers on the way, other good stuff in the works, and the money that we make from this will go to pay for hosting and production of things like this podcast that you listen to today. So you can find that at the top right menu of our website. And if you cop some merch, just be sure to tag us in your social posts so we can repost, because we really want to just, you know, show some love to you for showing us love and supporting what we're doing here. So thank you again for all your support, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.